T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Carden Roberts on the Fan, Craig on vacation. The Yankees won a game last night. They snapped their losing streak. They gained a game back on Toronto because they lost. And you know why they won last night, Big Mac?
Donaldson finally broke out of his slump, although he's been swinging the bat a little bit better the last 10
Absolutely
games.
Absolutely fair guess. That at-bat in the first inning is behind 0-2, works the count 2-2, a big two-run single. Sure, you could say that was a part of it.
The manager stuck with Tyone for innings?
You could say that. Manager said, all right, J-Mo, give me 7 good innings. You could say, hey, Aroldis Chapman looked good.
Mm-hmm.
He has a lot of reasons. But the real reason they won is because this manager, Aaron Boone, in Seattle, called a team meeting.
That's right.
And that team meeting sometimes can be magic. He told the guys, don't you ever forget who you are. You're the Bronx Bombers, damn it. But I'm glad for Aaron that they won that game, because the worst thing in baseball is when you call a team meeting and then you lose.
And it wasn't even a particularly good situation. You know, Logan's a pretty good pitcher.
Sure.
And Tyone's been probably their least consistent starting pitcher the last month, and they're still without Rizzo, still without Stanton. And he took a little limb. It wasn't like if he would have done it tonight or yesterday or earlier today with the ace on the mound, then you feel a little bit better about it, even though they're going against Castillo.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it with Cole against Castillo.
What do you do with Cole on the mound?
No, you're right. In general, you always want to call a meeting before a game that you're likelier to win.
Yes.
And you're right. Last night wasn't a game you circled and said they're likelier to win. Seattle's played well, even with Julio Rodriguez out.
Yep.
But sometimes the manager has to do it. Well, they got to whip out that, let's call a player meeting card.
Well, listen, I'm sure, you know, it came down from on high to have a meeting. I'm sure he got a script for the meeting to say exactly what he should say. You know, Cashman and the analytics team put together a script for him to say in the meeting. It worked for a day, but ultimately this team is too flawed to have meetings work, so we'll see how it goes.
Aaron Boone is an emotional guy. He will give you that ejection every couple of weeks like we saw on Sunday. He'll get all hot and bothered and scream and yell and tell the umpire, you're better than that.
Yeah.
And it's always wildly entertaining when Aaron does that.
Listen, that's not like people will get on him. The people who hate Boone get on him. Always, he shows no emotion. I'm like, shows no emotion? He's the savage in the box guy.
No. I mean, he shows emotion.
He shows plenty of emotion.
That's BS.
He's hot all the time.
That's BS.
He shows a lot of emotion. Listen, I know we're having fun with the meeting thing. I think it was called for. He was just telling the guy, you know, he said that it was about, listen, this is the group now. We've moved past the deadline. We're dealing with injuries fine. This is the group, and we're good enough, even though we're going through this. This team right now is good enough to win, and they are. Will they do it? We'll see. Hopefully things come together. But it was a good start with the game in Seattle. If Donaldson, especially now with Carpenter's injury, you need Donaldson to just be somewhat near what he's been in his career. He's been terrible to start the year. You need him to get back to where he was, or at least close to it. Last night was a good start, and hopefully he can start to turn this thing around. Tyone had a good outing. Holmes still gives up a run, but at least, you know, it wasn't
too much trouble.
Did not look good, but, you know.
No. That's the one concern I would have coming out of last night's game, and don't sugarcoat it. Clay Holmes is now a problem.
Yeah.
We're here. We're at this moment.
You're right. We're here.
And I think that after a few lousy outings, everyone has a few lousy outings. Mariano Rivera would have a few lousy outings.
Mm-hmm.
We are now at a point in which in his last 9 outings, he has pitched, I think it's 9 2/3 innings. He's given up 10 hits. He's given up 10 runs. 10 runs.
Yeah.
He had given up 2 runs in his prior 38 innings. He's walked more guys in his last 9 outings than he walked in his previous 38 innings.
Yeah.
His control's a problem. You saw it yesterday when he drilled Eugenio Suarez. We are now at the point where Clay Holmes shouldn't be the closer anymore. If you had somebody,
right?
That's my.
I was going to say, I don't know how you could say that.
If you had somebody that you could rely on, and I know you're not going to like what I'm going to say, but the guy who's trending in the other direction is Aroldis Chapman. Because in Aroldis Chapman's last six outings, he hasn't given up a run. He's only given up two hits.
Yeah.
And look.
And he looked healthy. Fielding, he made a great defensive play. That's worth.
I know that.
No, I don't hate that
you're
idea.
You're never going to trust him again. And I understand that. He's had too many big, horrible moments in the postseason.
Yeah.
But when you look at the state of this bullpen, Clay Holmes right now is losing his grip on this job.
Yeah.
He's not pitched well, He hasn't pitched well in a while. Like, you've got to go all the way back to July 12th when this really started with Clay.
Yeah.
Dude, that's a month.
It's a month.
Like, that's a sample size.
No question.
And I remember when he first started struggling, I defended him because I thought I was right at the time. I was just giving you my opinion that it was a lot of soft contact. It was really just command.
Yeah.
Well, the command issues are still there.
Yep.
And the soft contact thing is not the only hits he's giving up.
No.
He's looked like a very normal pitcher. He hasn't resembled the guy who in his first 38 innings gave up two runs.
No. And it's a major problem. And I could see Boone making that move. I definitely could. I could see the Yankees going back to Chapman here. They pay him a lot of money. He is trending in the right direction. He still throws the ball 100 miles an hour. I mean, and I know everyone hates Chapman and we remember the home runs for a brief time. About a month and a half or two months to start last year was the best we've ever seen him pitch, period, of his career.
Yeah.
That's how good he was for 2 months. Now, I'm not saying you can expect that or should expect that, but it's a year removed. I'm saying it's not out of the realm of possibility, still throwing 100 and 101 miles an hour, that could still be in there for a half a season here down the stretch. So I wouldn't be opposed to that, but yeah. That's a major problem, and we talked about it yesterday. Loáisiga, Chapman, and Holmes. If those three aren't at least close to what they should be, the Yankees have a major problem.
When Boone went to Clay Holmes last night, I thought it was a, let me get him a nice easy
three-inning.
We got the lead. We're going to win this game. Let me get his confidence up. And right out of the gate, he hits Eugenio Suarez.
Yep.
And then he gives up a soft contact base hit. But overall, it was not a clean inning.
No.
And he hasn't had a clean inning in a freaking month. Like, literally, he hasn't had an outing that was a 1-2-3 inning in his last 10 straight appearances. So it's been a while since we've seen that.
And it's just part of a trend, quite honestly. If you look at the difference between the first half and the second half here is the entire first half, they barely dealt with an injury. Now they have Rizzo, they have Stanton, they have King, they have, you know, injuries up and down the roster, Severino. And they had guys performing like we've never seen. And guys, the rotation had no issues. Tyone was great. Nestor was great. Sevy was great. Everyone was great. The back end of the bullpen with King and Holmes were perfect. And all of those things that led to that great start where they were winning all these close games, you know, the only consistent really has been Judge. Other than that, a lot of the things that made the team special for the first half right now are going through it.
Let's go to Greg in New York. What's up, Greg?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you doing this afternoon?
Good.
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good. Definitely Yankee fans traveling to see Yankee games in other cities is a huge thing.
Oh, yeah, sure.
My wife and I have been all over the United States.
I've watched a lot of Yankee road games, believe it or not, and I don't remember it being as impressive a sound to start the game as it was in Seattle. Like, I thought last night there were a ton of Yankee fans.
There were. But there's definitely a presence. Anytime the Yankees come into town.
Where's your favorite place?
They've got the largest fan base all over the United States.
Where's your favorite place to go as a Yankee fan? Baltimore?
No, I was not a fan of Baltimore.
Really? Okay.
No.
Pickles doesn't do it for you? I love pickles.
It's a good place to grab a beer, but my favorite place so far has been Minnesota.
Really?
The new stadium, obviously? Absolutely.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. All right.
Not only the stadium, but the city itself.
Well, that's it.
No garbage in the street.
That's the key. I remember having this debate with Francesa off air once. I judge stadiums not just by the stadiums, but the surrounding area.
Yeah.
And he was like, you don't do that. Who cares about the surrounding area? And I said, well, I do. I want to go to the bar.
Yeah.
I want to go to a restaurant. Like, I love City Field. City Field sucks because around the ballpark is like if you want a new muffler. If you want a new muffler, then City Field is great.
It's great for you.
Yeah. There's nothing over there now, Ev. You know that.
Excuse me?
You're missing a side mirror. That's exactly where
it's
you want to be.
It's completely empty now. They demolished all that stuff.
All right, so you're half right about that. So they demolished a large portion of that, but not all of it. There's still a big chunk of that area where if you want to buy a muffler, you could buy a muffler.
Hey, and AutoZone got to make their money too.
And what you can buy is a drink or chicken wings or something of that nature. And so while I love Citi Field, it takes a big hit because there's not much around it. I've never been to Minnesota, so his answer I can't even like agree with because I have no freaking idea.
I haven't been to too many either. Mine's Boston. I love, like you just mentioned, just walking around the streets outside of a Yankee Red Sox game is special.
Really? You don't have bad memories of that yet?
No, I mean, I have bad memories of that whole day, honest with you. It was
when Big Mac and I went to the wild card game.
But I love going there.
Oh, no, it's a great place. We go to the game. We barely make first pitch because I'm a moron. I thought we could take the train. I didn't realize there was a train schedule, and I had missed the train.
You thought it was like the subway, and it was like the LIRR where it came every 25 minutes.
Yeah, damn right I did. I thought Boston was a real city. What did I know? I thought they had a freaking subway.
Yeah.
So I was wrong about that. That's my fault. I take the L.
Yeah.
We had to rush with an Uber, get out early, and then run to make sure we made first pitch. So that's on me, my fault. Then the Yankees get their ass kicked. And that's not bad for me. That's bad for Big Mac. But as we're leaving, the verbal assault that poor Big Mac took.
I got.
Hey, fat ass! Go back to the Bronx!
I know.
Hey, Four Eyes! Your team's terrible!
And that was just my wife on the phone. it was embarrassing.
But it hasn't hurt your view of that Arians Stadium.
No, I had a good time there. And one day I will go there and the roles will be reversed, Evan.
Well,
one sweet day.
Won't happen this year because the Red Sox suck and they're not making the playoffs.
That's right. When's the last time the Yankees finished in last place, I ask?
It's a Jersey Mike's Yankee box office splits. We do have a pair of field level tickets. You'll get to see the Yankees take on the Toronto Blue Jays at Yankee Stadium coming up on Saturday, August 20th. We'll take caller number 3. At 866-540-WFAN, 866-540-9326 for your chance to win. It's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office splits. And the fan, Parker, is actually out in Seattle right now.
Yeah.
Were you at the game last night, Parker?
No, I was not. I'm a Mets fan.
Okay. How you doing then, pal?
I'm doing okay. You know, I'm just out here in Seattle, and I wanted to call because...
Well, what's the weather like there right now?
Gray.
Gray? What's the temperature?
Cold. It's like 60.
Oh!
See, now here's the thing. I asked him specifically because I was getting a couple things.
Oh, it's cold.
I don't want you to think that I think every day is the same weather because it's 90 degrees here today that it's 90 degrees in Seattle.
Hey,
I know that, obviously, elevation and other things of cities. Okay. I know the tops of mountains have snow on it.
Parker.
But my point is that generally...
We're just going to wait for him to stop.
We'll wait another second. I always assumed that, yes, the general temperature of the area was determined by the latitude.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, Parker, when was the last day in Seattle where you think it was 95 degrees, if you had to take a guess?
Well, it was kind of close, like... 2 weekends ago.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 15 years, Parker.
Okay, I thought you were going to say,
we have never seen such a day. We're in hoodies year-round, Evan.
Whoa, okay, well, listen, Evan, I want to be clear about something. I live in Seattle. I am not I wouldn't consider myself of Seattle. I'm a New Yorker, man. I mean,
I got you.
I'm out here, I'm moving back, but I wanted to call because, you know, you guys were talking about just how beautiful Seattle is and all these different things and, you know, why you have all these Yankee fans here. So, A, Seattle, not beautiful. Not a great place. Do not recommend it.
Okay.
Not a fan. Okay.
Not a fan at all. It's gray and the Seattle freeze, I don't know if you know about it. It's real. Absolutely real. People say it isn't, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why there are a lot of Yankee fans there is has nothing to do with the Yankees as much as Seattle has become a really big tech town. You have Amazon in particular. You have Microsoft, too. But, like, a lot of tech people, particularly from New York and San Francisco, that sort of area, have all been brought out here. That's why you have a lot of, like, New York and that area.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. All right. That's interesting. By the way, Big Mac, why don't you explain to the audience what the Seattle freeze is? Because I'm sure they didn't know what he meant, and you do. So why don't you explain it?
The Seattle freeze.
Yeah, what's the Seattle freeze? He said his quote was, a lot of people don't think it's true, but it's really, really true. So go ahead.
The Seattle freeze is in the morning when the dew freezes on the grass. And it's atypical of places of that latitude, but it happens occasionally there. And It's something like that. Although it's similar to the Yankee Freeze, which you didn't know is at the top of the stadium. You stadium lover. You didn't know the Yankee Freeze.
So the Seattle Freeze is fascinating. It is nothing like what Big Mac said. What the Seattle Freeze
is. I do not know what the Seattle Freeze is.
And I wasn't familiar with this until I heard about it, let's say, a couple months ago. Or when I Googled seconds ago.
Is it about, like, depression?
Not really.
Okay, because I've heard about Seattle and the rain causing depression.
Here's the difference between Craig and I, besides, you know, he's funny and I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
He will secretly look things up.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
And then be smart. No, I'm saying it about myself.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't know what it was.
Okay.
And I really thought it was what you alluded to. Oh, it must be some kind of cold weather thing.
Yeah.
It's not, but it's interesting. And for a transplant living in Seattle, it makes a lot of sense. The Seattle Freeze is a widely held belief that transplant people in Seattle have a difficult time making new friends. Okay?
the Seattle people freeze out the travelers.
Newcomers to the area have described Seattleites as standoffish, cold, distant, and distrustful. How about that?
Wow.
That people from Seattle interact with their own people, their own clique, at bars and parties.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you're not from there, like Parker,
right,
they don't talk to you, and it's very difficult to make friends. They freeze you out.
Hmm.
Hence the Seattle Freeze.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Never heard of that. The only person I know from Seattle was Frasier Crane, and he was really a very nice guy.
Seemed like a great guy.
How
was about he from Seattle?
No, he was from Boston.
From Boston. He was living in Seattle, though. I never saw him have a problem making friends.
No, he lived with his brother. What does that tell you? And his father.
Did he live with his brother?
His brother lived close by. Listen, his best friend was his dad and his housekeeper.
And his radio producer.
Okay. Who was also a transplanter. Yeah. I think Frasier showed you the Seattle Freeze is real. It's freaking hanging
I wonder if any other city has that. I've never heard of that. The Seattle Freeze. We're really welcoming here in New York.
Very much so.
We don't care where you're from.
Well, no, we are. Because most people from New York, I don't say that's not the right statement. A lot of people from New York are from other places.
Sure, absolutely.
And they come here because it's the land of freaking opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And they realize it's the greatest city in the world. So while, yes, I'm a New Yorker, you're a New Yorker, Big Zoo's a New Yorker, mm-hmm. maybe a lot of people listening are New Yorkers, there are a lot of people that come here knowing this is the greatest city in the world.
No question.
The Seattle Freeze exists. They're basically a bunch of arrogant jackasses in Seattle.
You wouldn't think Seattle would breed arrogance.
No.
I guess it does.
There are other
cities. I wouldn't have guessed that. Yeah.
I would have picked over that. That's what I would have said. JD's in Hartford. What's up, JD?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, man?
Great show. Chris, you're doing a great job.
Thank you,
buddy. Helping Evan out this week. Just want to give you that kudos there.
I appreciate it.
Let's talk New York quarterbacks.
Yes.
Just this year.
Yes.
Zach versus Daniel.
Not even close.
Here's the premise. Just give me the premise.
Of course.
We're talking this year.
Yeah.
Let me just finish the question.
Of course.
And then you guys run with it. And let me just end with a tidbit of information that Evan would needed last week during a conversation with Craig.
Oh.
Here's my feedback.
I could have had this information last week, but go ahead.
Based on the schedule,
based
on their current rosters, and based on where they're at right now,
mm-hmm.
my premise is that Daniel may have a better year statistically, but not good enough to keep the job next year. Zach is going to show progress and trend in the right direction, and he'll establish himself as the right guy for the Jets in the next 10 years, which is a win-win for them. So I'm going to hand it off to you guys, share your feedback, but please hand it back to me for some wisdom for you, Evan, when Craig comes back next week.
What was the topic that I needed wisdom on? Because sometimes I could use that information in the moment. So what was, and I will answer the Jones.
Chorizo is the topic.
Yeah.
Chorizo.
Well, wasn't I right? I go down to Virginia to get really good chorizo, and I stand by that, even though I've gotten a lot of offers from people saying you can get it here.
Evan, I'll give you the tidbit, and then you guys can answer the football question. But here's the tidbit.
Yeah.
Google the origin of chorizo, okay?
All right.
And you really made me feel bad. It originated in Portugal and Spain.
I made you
feel bad. And that's where the best chorizo came from.
Yeah, but you're
not going to fly.
I can't fly to Portugal or Spain. What did he say?
Come on, man. You can't just take a quick $200 trip over to Portugal for some chorizo every couple of weeks.
We're talking about the best chorizo in the world.
It's where it was invented,
You know why it's the best there? Because of the climate. The climate of Spain allows
it. Doesn't rain in Spain.
If they could give
it falls mainly on the plane.
If they could give me nice shipping costs on the chorizo coming from Portugal, I'm all in, but I live in America. I'm willing to drive to Virginia. I'm not willing to fly to Portugal, no. Nor am I willing to drive to Denver, Colorado. Look, here's the reality, in my opinion. I have a tough time believing Daniel Jones is going to play 17 games this year.
Yeah.
He hasn't. That's number one. Number two, I think Daniel Jones has already proven to us he's not very good. Now, is he going to lose his job based on play by week 5 or week 6? I don't know if that's going to happen with him because I also wonder the motivation on at what point would you even go to a veteran quarterback like Tyrod Taylor? But I think it's easier for me to say, Zach, not because I'm a Jet fan. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact I think we know the answer on Daniel Jones. Like, I already know the answers to the question.
Mm-hmm.
With Zach, I don't know the answers to the question.
No.
And the one thing I'm very steadfast on, because I heard Tiki say this earlier today, and I love Tiki, but I couldn't disagree with him more, is the idea that we could go into next year not knowing if Zach's the guy. If we go into next year knowing Zach's not the guy, or not, we don't know if he's the guy.
The answer's not there yet.
Then he's not the guy.
I agree.
We're going to know. And quite frankly, we're going to know by week 9. Barring injuries, of course, by week 9, they ended against the Buffalo Bills, then they go into a bye. We are going to sit here on November 13th or November 12th, whatever that date is, and Craig and I will be unified. We won't even argue. Mm-hmm. We are both going to know if Zach Wilson's the quarterback. And so because there's uncertainty with him, and yes, he's got more weapons this year, no question about it. He's got a running game.
Yeah.
He's got tight ends. He's got 2 of them, potentially 3 of them.
Yeah.
There's a chance that Zach answers the question with a yes. Daniel Jones already gave us the answer. The answer is no. Am I wrong?
No, I agree with you. I mean, if the question is just straight up who could have better numbers, I think it's a tough question to answer. I think LaFleur really kind of flourished the second half of the year. That offense really started to take hold, you know, with the Mike White era and moving up to the booth, whatever. It just started to get better. Second year of the offense with Wilson. I think he's got a bunch of weapons. You mentioned tight end. I don't know who the Giants. Tight end is a non-position.
Ricky Shields-Jones got hurt. He was supposed to be number one on the depth chart.
So I think there's some weapons. Both wide receiving cores can be good, you know. But the second year with this offense for Jones, the running game, for Wilson, I could see. Wilson should have the better year. But if you're going to tell me after this year who I have more confidence in, it better be Wilson. Because I don't think there is any more confidence in Daniel Jones. That I completely agree with you. They're done. He's done. I don't understand how it could go any further with Daniel Jones. We've seen it. We've answered the question. And I don't want to hear, but you know, Phil Simms coming out of Moorhead State.
Different world.
Took 5-6 years.
Different world.
Parcells hated him. He benched him for, you know, it's a completely different world.
It's a different world.
These questions have to be answered year 2. And the idea, and this is what I said to Joe Shane, the idea that it's year 4 for Daniel Jones and we're still in the, well, if you give him this,
nah,
you give him
he's
that
not the
base,
guy.
He's not the guy. He's not the guy. So it better be Wilson.
And I also
for Jet fan's sake.
I also look at it this way now, and I don't think I ever would have said this, but now I've seen enough over the last 2 decades where I really feel strongly about this, and that is if Zach Wilson isn't the guy, like if we're sitting here late in this season and we're like, he's not the guy, then I want to get rid of him next year. I don't want to waste my time anymore. I'm 39. How old are you again? 38?
38, yes.
I don't know how many more years we're going to be on this
bastard.
Planet. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so sick and tired. And this is what I do actually feel bad for with Giant fans because I've experienced this.
Right.
I don't want to waste seasons with quarterbacks who I know is not the answer.
Yeah.
Because it's a terrible feeling. Now, we talked about this briefly yesterday.
Yeah.
You should still root for them to win every single game and hope we're all wrong. And Daniel Jones shockingly wins the Super Bowl. Of course, as a fan, that's what you're going to root for. But I think the reason why I'm as excited for this season as I've been in a long time. Not to say I haven't been excited over seasons. I had a guy calling me out on Twitter saying, you were pumped up for Sam Darnold. I'm always pumped up for a season.
Of course.
Always. I'm saying I'm more pumped up today than I've been since 2012. But I don't think any of us want to sit here through we already know the outcome of the movie, but we're going to watch it anyway.
Right.
And so I hope Craig and I don't have to have this discussion in December, but I'm telling you right now, if we know Zach's not the answer by the end of this season, get rid of him. I don't want to waste time anymore. I'm done.
I don't know how you go about doing that, though.
What do you mean you don't know how you go about doing it?
I mean,
you don't know? You trade his ass. You trade for a veteran quarterback. You draft another young quarterback. Look, I don't want to get into it now because he could still be the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
My point is, look around the league over the last 15 years, okay?
Yeah.
Recent time period.
Right.
Find me the guy who, after 2 bad years in the NFL,
right,
found his way as a franchise
quarterback.
Well,
Allen,
No.
He wasn't bad in year two. He wasn't terrible.
What was he in year two?
He wasn't as good as he was in year three. That was the jump year.
That's not the point, though.
I understand that, but that's the year he really made the jump. But there was still some speculation on Allen year two.
Hold on. Year two for Josh Allen. And Jet fans, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to imagine this happens with Zach Wilson. Okay? Mm-hmm. I want you to imagine. You're a good football fan.
Close my eyes.
You're not as unbiased against the Jets as you are with the Mets. You're very good with the Jets.
I'm good with the Mets are unbelievably talented.
I'm kidding.
Good Lord.
Year two for Josh Allen. He started all 16 games. The Buffalo Bills finished with a record of 10-6.
Okay.
Josh Allen, from his rookie season, went from 10 touchdown passes to 20 touchdown passes.
Okay.
He went from 12 picks to 9 picks. That was in year number two.
All right, 20-9? You're going to tell me that's a super? You didn't know. And he was still inaccurate, and the legs were still the best part of his game.
Well, hold on a second. He went from a 4-5 win season, essentially, mm-hmm. where he threw more picks than touchdowns, Zach Wilson, in year one, to a 29 season in which they won 10 games and made the playoffs. And you're telling me, oh, I'm not sure? If Zach Wilson does that, that's enough.
Okay.
That's enough.
It's not the perfect answer, but I'm telling you, year three was really the jump year for him.
No, it wasn't year two. The year three was the jump into superstardom. Year two is the jump into he's a good guy. He's a good quarterback.
I don't know if I felt that way after year
there's
two.
I get what you're saying.
You think the Buffalo Bills fans that we have a quarterback after year two?
They're missing my point. Maybe I'm not articulating it well. My apologies. There was enough of a jump from year one to two to say, that's my guy.
Okay. Maybe I missed your point on the Zach Wilson, because that's what you're looking for.
I need a significant jump.
Significant jump.
I need exactly what Josh Allen did. I'm telling you right now, that's the jump.
Okay.
Because Josh Allen's rookie season numbers compared to Zach Wilson's rookie season numbers, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
That does not mean I think Zach Wilson is Josh Allen.
Right, I get you.
My point is, Josh Allen did not have a good rookie season when he played.
Right.
But in year two, he made enough of a jump where you're like, oh, okay. And then, yes, year three, he became a superstar.
Yeah.
But in year two, he became very good.
Did Daniel Jones do that?
Did Daniel Jones do that?
No, Daniel Jones regressed every single year.
Okay. So you knew the answer after year two. You knew the answer. And again, name the quarterback.
I like the year three. I'm kind of in that three-year lane where I'm giving a guy 3 years, not four.
But in year two, after year two, see significant progress.
We haven't seen any of it. That's true.
But
he took a step back
is,
in year two. But then you got also the incompetence of the coaches and stuff. It's a little different.
You're just
but
making excuses, though.
But I'm with you on the final outcome is Daniel Jones hasn't shown enough, and it's too late now.
Look, it doesn't mean, and let me clarify it this way, because you're right in terms of Zach Wilson doesn't need to be the superstar in year two.
Right.
I am not saying that. He needs to make the kind of progress that Josh Allen made from year one to year two when he went from throwing 10 touchdowns to 12 picks to 20 touchdowns and 9 picks. And, oh, by the way, they were a winning football team that made the postseason.
I know. Well, I'm just giving you the guy because if you look at it, honestly, a lot of these quarterbacks, it doesn't even take year two. I mean, you knew Burrow right away. You knew Herbert right away.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you don't even need year two. So I'm trying to think of the one guy who struggled in year one. Like
Josh Allen.
That's why I gave you Josh Allen.
No, I know.
I just think that the year two was okay. You're right. There was improvement, no doubt. And you were gonna. He earned year three without question.
But you would agree.
But I'm just saying, if year two was a little bit better than year three, are they? If that year three jump wasn't the year three jump, after year three he gets slightly. He throws 25 and 25 touchdowns and 7 picks.
Right.
And they win 10 games. Like. I guess you're thinking he's the guy, but he's not Josh Allen.
But you would agree if Zach Wilson gives you the jump that Josh Allen gave you in year two.
Oh, it's enough for year three.
We'd all be very happy. We'd all be very happy.
No. Not all. There's going to be a co-host here on Thursday and Friday.
No, that's
who
not
I'm
true.
Not sure he would be that's, very happy with we, the quarterback situation.
I'll ask him, but I guarantee he would be.
Very happy?
Based on the two things
like you
I
have
gave
the
you.
Guy? Because you just said before, now we're kind of parsing words, very happy. You said you need to know if he's the guy, and if you don't know he's the guy, then he's not the guy.
Right.
Is that year of Josh Allen enough to say, okay, he's the guy?
I think it's enough to say... He really has a chance to be that guy. I know he's good now.
Well, now you're backing off the I have to know.
Well.
You're willing to say he's seen enough where I'm intrigued and it's trending in that direction.
I think there needs to be enough progress in year two, significant progress, where you're encouraged enough to think this isn't the finished product, But this guy's a lot better than what I saw in his first season.
Okay.
And I think a lot of times around here, whether it's Sam Darnold, whether it's Daniel Jones,
right,
we almost just close our eyes and say, well, let's just see it this year. All right, let's just see it this year. Like, you need to see big, significant signs early on
yeah.
that guy can make the jump. And we never saw it from Daniel Jones.
No, I agree.
And that's not me projecting to everybody saying, I know Zach's the guy. I don't know if Zach's the guy.
Right.
I wish Sam Darnold was the guy. I wish Mark Sanchez was the guy. So I don't know if he's going to be the guy, but there certainly needs to be considerable progress. We'll talk about Kevin Durant and Joseph Saia. What time did I say I was going to do a big
3:50. I'm sorry, let him answer. Go ahead.
But he's not paying attention, so you can
3:51.
3:51 will address it. Plus, Evan Neal did something that, I don't know, man. I don't know if I feel great about, but I'll let you decide.
It's selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Harton and Roberts on the Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Harton and Roberts on the Fan on a Tuesday. Until 6:30 tonight, Keith McPherson after that. You got a little West Coast baseball. Yankees are going to play game two of their series against Seattle. Tonight's the Cole Castillo game, right?
Yeah.
Round two?
Round two.
All right.
It's going to go different than round one.
Boy, I'll tell you.
It's going to be 10-8 Yankees. that's like the judgment of the round, not necessarily the score.
No, I understand. Oh, you're going to get another shot at Luis Castillo. You've already faced twice in recent time.
Yes.
Once with Cincinnati, once with Seattle. Well, and
it
then
it got
tonight.
A little better each time.
Right.
He dominated us with Cincinnati, scored a few runs the last time, and tonight's going to go well.
I
don't know. I hope so.
Now, you can tell me if I'm over-exaggerating this, mm-hmm. and I'm not trying to make a big deal of it. I'm just going to give you an observation I noticed, and then you could tell me, Evan, you're being like Craig. And we'll get your calls right after that, 877-337-6666. So Evan Neal was on the Midday Show yesterday. Sounds like a great kid.
Yeah.
Really does. And I read he was changing his number.
Yeah.
He was going from number 70 to number 73.
73. He wore it as a freshman in high school or something. It's
right.
His number.
And he even alluded to it recently where he said, hey, don't get used to 70. I'm like, okay, guy's going to change his number. A non-story, right?
Yeah.
And then I realized, well, why is he changing his number now? There's a guy on the Giants, or I should say a guy who was on the Giants, named Matt Gono. I think that's how you pronounce his name, G-O-N-O. Mm-hmm. He's an offensive lineman. He's been in the league for a couple years. Giants signed him. And it came out a few days ago that he not only has a neck injury that will not allow him to play this season, it's a career-ending neck injury.
Yeah.
And so there's a chance this poor guy's career is over. Mm-hmm. It's done. He was the one wearing 73. Now, look, Evan Neal as a rookie could have offered him money like we've always heard with these number exchanges. He didn't do that. He waited for this poor guy's career to end. And then within, like, hours of him being caught, said, oh, by the way, let me take your number.
Well, he doesn't need it. He's not using it. What are you saying? He should have. I don't know how. It's not the same as other sports. Like, there's going to be a lot of cuts. Like, he doesn't. This guy might have got cut anyway if he didn't get injured.
But he didn't get caught because he stinks.
I understand that.
He literally got cut because his neck won't allow him to play football anymore.
Right.
Let me ask you a question. You a fan of Friends, the TV show?
I wouldn't say fan, but I've seen it. I guess so. Yeah, I guess I'm a
fan. I think this was an episode of Friends.
Laugh, yeah.
Maybe it was a different show. There's an old woman or an old man. I think it was Ugly Naked Guy.
Okay.
And Ugly Naked Guy. Yeah. Is it Ugly Naked Guy? Was that his name?
I don't remember.
He dropped dead. He died.
Yeah.
And the Friends could not wait to get over there.
And be ugly naked?
And find out if they could take the apartment.
Right.
And there needs to be a little bit of time, like, let the families mourn, let them clean the stuff out of the apartment before you just take the apartment of the dead guy.
This is life, Evan.
Like, don't you give it this a little bit of time, bro?
We're all ugly naked men.
Well, that's true. No, but you know, life goes on.
You have no issue with this?
I don't know if I have an issue with it. He waited until the number was available. He didn't determine. Now, if you found out that, you know, he caused the neck injury or that he was, like, you know, planning somehow to, like, injure the guy so he could have the number, like in The Fan. Right? With Robert De Niro.
Very underrated movie.
Yeah, it was
the
creepy.
The only issue I have is they would have stopped that game in that kind of rain. There's no way they're playing.
I know. It was sloppy. To imagine that's too far-fetched. But no, he waited until the number was available. It's not his fault how the number became available.
I mean, can you give it a little bit more time? Could you tell the Giants, listen, I'm going to take number 73, okay? I'm going to take it. Let's just give it a few weeks. Let's let the story kind of move on. And then I'm going to take my 73.
Now, I think you're the only one who, like, even mentioned this.
Because nobody picked up on it.
No, because nobody thinks it's as heartless as you think it is.
So I'm going to go around the room.
Yeah.
And I totally respect everyone's opinion. I want everyone to be honest.
Yeah.
All right? I'm not going to bully you the way a certain other bald man does.
Yes.
Where he kind of makes you want to say something.
Yeah.
You say there's nothing wrong with it.
I don't think there's anything wrong
with it. Amanda, who's done a great job interning, made me a handmade card that was beautiful.
A very nice handwritten note, and the handwriting is...
Oh, impeccable.
Oh, my God.
Now, I'm not saying that to try to get you to agree with me. You can say whatever you want, but you seem like somebody that has a heart, okay? You think this is okay? Be honest with me, Amanda.
All right, it seems kind of messed up, if you think about it. It's kind of messed up.
Thank you.
You know?
Thank you. That's all I'm saying. It's kind of messed up. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
I don't think it's messed up.
It is. Look, again, Evan Neal seems like a really good dude.
Yeah.
I think he's young. Maybe he didn't think it through, but a little bit. Big Zoo. He's a heartless bastard, so I can see Big Zoo saying it's no problem.
Hey, man, it be like that sometimes. You know what I mean? If you know something's going to be free, why are you going to hook somebody up with a gift for it?
So basically what Big Zoo is saying is if I drop dead tomorrow.
I think that's,
I drop dead. I'm dead.
Someone's got to host the show tomorrow.
Just comes
it's the
out.
Line of the business, bro.
I just died. Like, the news just came out. Evan Roberts is dead. Mm-hmm. Big Zoo is already in Spike's office saying, by the way, I want that job.
Oh, I mean, now listen, hey. If I was asked, hey, you want to change your number? You want to get a job? I'm taking it. But if I'm not getting asked, I ain't doing it.
You're an idiot, by the way. I love you. That's not a good attitude.
But listen.
Go, what?
And you make it sound like he went through... Other people have to be okay with this, too. The Giants had to give him the number. It's not like he got the jersey. It might be a different size jersey. Like, this might be in the works for a while. Like, you know, it's not just him ripping the jersey off the guy as he left. Like, you're packing your things. Oh, leave the jersey.
Well, the Giants aren't going to say, no, wait, give it some time.
Why not? I mean, you seem to think
basically,
so.
Basically, Evan Neal's out there a few days ago saying, I'm getting 73. Why? Because that guy can't play football ever again.
The number became available. It's not his. It's not his fault. Why? How? Listen, or how the number came available? Listen. And the Giants had to give it to him. They could have easily said, "Look, wait a week. It could be a story. Some moron might pick up on this and think it's heartless. So I would just give it a little bit of time. Let's wait a week. They could have said that, and he would have been like, okay, I guess I'll wait a week.
I'm going to try to be as fair as I can when Evan Neal plays football for the New York Giants this season. But I'm going to tell you right now.
You're just looking for reasons to pick on Giants.
That's not true.
That's
swear.
It. Beckton goes down, and you got to pick a problem with the Giants offensive line.
No. It's simply that it jumped out at me. Like, when I heard he was changing his number, the reaction I had is what everyone had, which is like, who cares? Right. I haven't bought his jersey. Okay, whatever.
Right. And he's also never played a down for the Giants. And they haven't even played a preseason game yet.
And then I became curious. Like, I was like, I wonder why now? It's weird. You know, it's August. Why is he changing the number now? It's so strange to me.
It's not weird.
And then when I noticed it was related to this Matt Gono, I apologize. Yeah. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. I feel bad for the Gono
family.
God forbid
you take his number, but you can pronounce his name any way you want. No problem with that. No problem butchering his name. Didn't care enough to go find out how to pronounce it.
All right,
but
so
you can't take his number.
You're good with this. Big Zoo's good with this. Me and Amanda on the right side of history. Okay. I was just curious.
I feel bad for Gono or, you know, Gono or however you want to, you know, I feel bad for the guy. His career's over. But there's 100 guys on the team right now. You know there's not going to be 100 guys later. Oh, they give out the numbers. You prefer 73. The Giants aren't going to rip it off this guy's back to give it to you. You wait till the number comes available. He could have just honestly been cut. He could have been traded. Okay. Unfortunately, it was an injury.
Listen, I still love you even though you're a heartless bastard. Okay. It's okay.
All right.
It's okay.
I understand.
Eddie's in Tom's River. What's going on, Eddie?
Hey, guys. How are you, Chris? How are you, Evan?
I'm doing well, Eddie. How are you, bud?
Oh, man. That makes this show... I'm going to be very short because the topic you guys are talking is very important. So I want you to keep going.
Okay. What's up?
Evan, congratulations on the interview to the general manager of the New York Mets.
Say it one more time.
It was congratulations in your interview to the general manager of the New York Mets.
Oh, okay. Thank
you. Your question was right there. I mean, the question that we want to ask him as a fan of the Mets. You were right there, but he was so evasive. He was so shaky. He never answered you straight. Never.
I got to defend him. I think he did give an answer to the pointed questions the one thing that really bothered me, and that was not adding bullpen arms outside of Michael Givens. And I think the answer was simply we didn't want to give up what the cost was.
Right.
Now, that's a really interesting debate because AS fans, we need to know what the cost actually was, and then the fan base can have an opinion on it. Because I don't know specifically what the Chicago Cubs required for David Robertson. And I'm sure if we knew the answer, for those that are interested in the Met farm system, there'd be a healthy debate on if it's worth it or not. There'd be one side of the aisle that says, the Mets can win the World Series. I don't care. Trade who's ever there.
Right.
So while he didn't tell us the specifics of it, he did tell us the answer, which was, I thought the cost was too high to add bullpen help. And here's the reality, because two things can be true at the same time. While I didn't love the fact that he didn't add more significant bullpen help, the New York Mets can win the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want it to be perceived as, I'm mad they didn't add bullpen help, now they can't win the World Series. I think they would have been better if they added David Robertson. I think they would have been better if they added Andrew Chafin, who, by the way, wasn't traded. I think they need certain things to fall a certain way. They need Adam Ottavino to continue to be good. They need Tyler McGill to come back and be healthy and good out of the bullpen. They may need David Peterson to be a weapon out of the bullpen. They may need their starters to go 7 or 8 innings in every single postseason game.
Sure.
They may need Edwin Diaz to get 6 outs. Like, those things can happen. The Mets can win the World Series. The New York Mets can win the World Series. But I did feel at the time, and I still feel that way, that they would have been better if they added more bullpen help.
And they would have been. And Givens isn't enough, and you always want to bolster a team that's given you the evidence, and there's no doubt about it. The Mets have given you the evidence that they are good enough to go out and win a championship. So, yeah, I mean, but you're past it now. I mean, we're past it.
It doesn't matter now.
The deadline, you're past it. This is the team, and like you said, this team's good enough to win the championship, and you're going to need things. Every team who wants to win a championship is going to need guys to perform.
Is 2005 too long ago to make a reference to?
Not at all.
You think that's recent enough?
I believe so, yeah.
Are you sure?
2005.
17 years ago.
That's a long time ago.
Is that too long?
No, I think it's good.
Okay. I'm going to give you a reference. Mm-hmm. You already know the reference. You're a good baseball fan. Mm-hmm. Good baseball fan.
Yeah.
Ozzie Guillen in the postseason essentially said, the way my team has to win a World Series is I'm going to have to get a crazy amount of innings out of my starting pitching.
Yeah.
Mark Burley, Jose Contreras, guys like that. And he did. And when you think back to how the White Sox won a World Series, which most people don't remember, right, and I don't blame you, that's what they did. And there's a part of me that thinks that's what the Mets are going to have to do. They're going to need, yeah, not just on a night in August where Chris Bassitt goes eight and pushes himself,
yeah,
but for this team to win a championship with a suspect bullpen, they're going to need, yes, Edwin Diaz to routinely in the playoffs get more than three outs to save the game.
Yep.
But they're going to need Jacob DeGrom, him too. The innings limit today is very different than what it would be come October if he's healthy. Max Scherzer and Chris Bassitt, who has shown you he's an innings eater, that they are going to have to, Buck's going to have to maximize the amount of outs these guys get in big games. And it's a tough, tough chore.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to leave those guys in one batter too long, ask Grady Little. You don't want to do that.
Sure.
That's an even older reference.
That is.
That's 2003.
That's 2003. I like that reference better. I like that reference better.
I'm sure you do.
But listen, if there's anyone who can navigate those...
Don't do it.
Well, tough waters.
Big Mac, there is one captain...
No, time out.
Okay. Before you say anything. We're having a good discussion.
Okay, I'm sorry.
A really good
message. Well, I'm just saying, don't you trust Buck to make the decision? Honestly, and without sarcasm, that's a decision that you just mentioned. That decision could be the difference between the Mets winning the World Series and losing the World Series. You have a manager you trust to make it.
I think Buck Showalter, more than any other manager in the MLB postseason, is going to have to manage more than anyone else. And I'll give you two reasons why.
Mm-hmm.
What I just explained with the rotation and the bullpen, which we just got into. And here's the other reason. They're a platoon team.
Yes.
And what's difficult about a platoon team, not to get in the weeds, but you know what? I'm going to get in the weeds.
Sure.
Craig ain't
Weed
here.
It up. Let's go.
I could save a special edition of Rico Bronya to just jump headfirst into the weeds.
Reefer Bronya! Oh, not bad.
When you have a platoon team like this, you got to make tough decisions. Fourth inning, am I pinch hitting for Daniel Vogelbach? There's a left hand mound. When do I pinch hit for Darren Ruff? When do I do this? When do I do that? So, Buck Showalter, and you're going to hate this if the Mets win a World Series. You're going to hate this. You're going to hate it. He's going to get even more credit than anyone else because he's actually going to have to manage more than most managers in today's era. Boom, bang, bang.
Well, yeah, okay. Well,
you agree with that statement?
I wasn't too deep into the weeds. But, yeah, you've dealt with me for the last 2 days. Do I agree that if the Mets win the World Series, Buck is going to get a ton of credit? Yes, I believe that. But oddly enough,
that's not what I meant.
I kind of see that coming.
I don't mean he's going to get like.
No,
as a baseball fan,
he is going to be anointed.
No, the greatest manager. Okay.
In recent memory of Major League Baseball.
As a baseball fan, though, would you not agree with the premise?
Yeah,
based on the way the team is built, the way I just described it, without getting any more into the weeds than I have, that he is actually going to have to manage more game to game than most managers in baseball. Do you agree with that statement? And I hope you say yes, because if you say no, it's going to just go into more of the weeds.
Well, no, I mean,
so please say yes.
Well, you're going based on the current bullpen situation. I'd have to assess every team that's
No, and the platoon situation with Ruff and Vogelbach and Guillerme and Escobar and the catching situation. Yes,
that's fair.
Yes.
No, you're right. You're fair. I can't think of another team that has the platoon situation that they do.
The Giants,
so many guys left and right.
The Giants were very similar to it a year ago. And obviously, they flamed out relatively early in the postseason.
Yeah.
And by relatively early, I mean the National League Divisional Series.
But they played the best team in the...
No, I get that.
Yeah.
I get that.
Although, that's not true. The Braves won the World Series. But
that's true. But at the time, they were. I totally acknowledge that point. We will get into the latest on what the hell the Nets should do with Kevin Durant. I know you've enjoyed hearing every Knick fan give you their opinion on what they should do. I will tell you as a Net fan, after sleeping on it, after seeing Joseph Tsai decide, hey, I'm going to get on Twitter and actually comment on this, which I thought was an idiotic move, I'll let you know what they need to do and what they should do.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.